In terms of the concrete quality, that had to be absolutely impeccable. Some of the RTA people who've been working on bridges, concrete bridges, for a very long time are just saying, you know, the quality of the concrete on this bridge exceeds anything that we've done before. You know? exceeds our own standards for concrete quality, which was quite amazing.
Mark Sinclair elaborates.
It's a fly ash blended cement, which gives enhanced durability, but also allows for construction to occur in a reasonable time frame. One of our major concerns, of course, is even where we're building this particular structure, it's probably the most exposed bridge in, well, certainly in New South Wales, and one of the most exposed in Australia. It is subject to a lot of salt spray and reinforcement, and concrete doesn't usually go for longevity. But in order to address those issues and hopefully come up with the best solution, we tossed around lots and lots of ideas in regard to coatings, different types of steel for the reinforcement, none of which quite satisfied our longevity goals. What's been addressed and what's been incorporated in the substructure of both of these bridges, the incremental launch and the balance cantilever, is cathodic prevention. Cathodic prevention is effectively a system where a small current is applied into the reinforcement, which is such to overcome the currents and electron movements, etc., that would normally result in the onset of corrosion. So by putting a small amount of current into the structure, you're actually able to prevent the corrosion from starting. So that in itself is an innovative solution for a otherwise fairly major disaster that could be looming years from now.
Is that current going to be continuously going through the structure?
Yes.
For the rest of its life?
Yes. We've installed titanium anodes, and those titanium components have a certain current density that they emit, and the longevity of those anodes is expected to be in the region of 200 years. The design life of the bridge is around 100 years. It effectively drives the corrosive ions, which are effectively the chlorides, out of or away from the reinforcement and effectively passivates the reinforcement in that fashion.
Peter Whiten confirms.
It won't hum, it won't be warm. The amount of current that runs through the actual computer that controls the current actually needs more current than what actually runs through the bridge. But it is an extra $1.5 million that the RTA have decided to put against this bridge, because this will be an iconic structure, this bridge. I think it's going to be noticed by people, and you know, people are going to travel to see it. And a bit like the Opera House or the Harbour Bridge, they didn't actually represent very good value for money at the time they were constructed, but nobody would argue against not having them now.
When did they start building the actual deck of the bridge?
That has started for the Balance Cantilever Bridge. We've poured two segments of PD, and by the end of this week we should pour another two segments on PSC. So we're starting the segment construction process. We should be able to get a segment out per week, and there's 10 segments for each traveller to produce. Total of four travellers, so we get four segments out a week for four travellers.
In order to build the bridge deck for the incremental launch, what we've done is we've set up a purpose-built mould which will produce segments up to 15 metres long. What effectively is done there is we achieve one segment per week. A segment length is usually typically half of a span, which our typical spans are 30 metres, so our standard segment length will be 15 metres. So every week we place reinforcement, we pour concrete, we stress some cables, then using a lift and push jack, which is called an Ebbersparker, we push out this 15 metres of bridge, and then we go through the system again, and at the end of the day we will have launched 14 segments and we'll get the bridge in its final position. In order to launch one of these bridges, you have a heavy steel nose which bolts onto the very first segment. The reason for having that nose is it's actually lighter than the concrete that would otherwise be there. And as you push this out, the nose arrives ahead of the concrete at a pier. So once that launch nose arrives, it's jacked up slightly and then pushed through. The launch nose, in our case, is around about 18 metres long, which is 60% of a typical span. So by the time we've finished the incremental launch bridge, the formwork travellers should be just coming free of the main bridge on piers C and D, and then they'll relocate to A and B. So the incremental launch bridge will be finished first from a bridge deck perspective. The launch nose will then be removed, and then eventually the ballast can lever bridge will somehow join up at Pier 7, and eventually we'll have a continuous structure.